Hello, I'm Timothy Brissell, and you're listening to The Dance and Dream of the Trinity, an audio resource of theadoptedlife.org, designed to bring you the encouragement of the good news of Jesus Christ. Greetings. Well, God the Father, Son, and Spirit are dancing and living in a wonderful state of harmony, unity, and oneness. Think of it. But they're not doing it without you. That's right. In God's one and only Son, Jesus the Christ, you, my brother and my sister, are adopted and included in the life of God the Trinity. Now, isn't that relieving to a burdened soul when we get around and act bad and we do act bad and think bad and we do think bad, to be able to hear that refreshing word that flows from the living water of Jesus Christ that really, in the end, it's okay? God has us embraced in Jesus so tightly he'll never let us go. And that which he faithfully began in us in Jesus Christ, he will finish. And in Jesus Christ has actually finished it. See, that's what's meant to bathe our souls. That's the good news and gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the deepest truth about your life and my life. And indeed, the truth that underlies all of creation. But I can imagine that this might sound like a strange way to present the gospel, considering how most of us have heard things proclaimed from religious services and religious broadcasting over the years. Now, that is a huge understatement. I mean, where are the warnings, Tim? Where are the threats, Tim? Pastor Brissell, where is salvation? Where is heaven and hell? And the explicit ABCs and 1-2-3s that the scriptures have to say about those things. Well, I know those things aren't pleasant, Tim, but God says some people are going to burn now, and some are going to gnash their teeth, and some are going to be cast into outer darkness. Now, don't you think you ought to balance out your message, Pastor, just a little and preach the whole counsel of God? P.S. After all, I was looking forward to seeing a few of my enemies go up in smoke. All right, I'm getting a little too real. You can tell I'm a preacher right there. Well, I want to say that those really are good questions, and they're equivalent to things I have thought and said out of my own mouth in the recent past also. So I can understand I'm with you on asking those questions, but I'm also, more importantly, with you on addressing them properly and in the context of who God is as Father, Son, and Spirit, and who Jesus is, and who Jesus says we are in him, in the Holy Spirit, and in Scripture. Well, let's get a proper context for addressing those questions. I don't know about you, but we here at the Adopted Life and the Trinity and Humanity blog, we believe in the Jesus Christ of Scripture and as described in the early Christian creeds, such as the Nicene Creed and the Chalcedon Creed. This Jesus, according to those sources, those Christian sources, is the Father's Son. Jesus is the Father's Son who is in communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and the one who is also fully man. Now, no matter who the believer is and what we might believe differently regarding various doctrines, it seems that the one thing almost every so-called Christian agrees with is that Jesus was sent from the Father to save us from sin and its horrible consequences. Now, can I get an amen from about everybody on that one? Now, that's something we all can agree on. Now, the point of putting things in that context is to reinforce for all of us what we somehow know down to our toenails, and that is that we are all sinners. In fact, we all know that what Romans 5 has to say about us is true. When one person sinned, and actually we can say when two people sinned, Adam and Eve, everyone sinned. I mean, when sin gets with sin, the only thing that can result is more sin. Sin plus sin is sin. And so we agree with the ancient and modern church and what we can see in our lives and the lives of others, that Jesus had to come and save us from our sins because sinners we were and are. But here's the interesting thing about the Nicene Creed and the scriptures, and that is that they tell us something more about the purpose of the Father, Son, and Spirit with regard to salvation. Now, I don't know if you know it or not, but the Christian creeds were developed before the Christian scriptures were formed into the New Testament books we now have. In fact, the scriptures we have today in the form of the New Testament were selected and chosen because of how well they lined up with the early Christian creeds. Now, the reason I keep putting this emphasis on the New Testament is that any Christian, any believer, any real reader of the Bible that can read it objectively knows that in the New Testament, we get more clarity on the person of Jesus Christ. And even out of his own mouth, we see that even the Old Testament scriptures, he said, spoke about him. We're trying to reveal him, the Messiah who was to come. And this word creed comes from the word credo, which means I believe. So whenever we speak about creeds, we're speaking about what we believe fundamentally as Christians. Now, the bottom line of these Christian creeds is that God is Father, Son, and Spirit. That God is three persons in one God and one God in three persons. And that Jesus, the Son of God, is fully God and fully human, being sent for us men and for our salvation. That's the kind of the bottom line of it. Now, I know you heard that salvation message again, and I'm kind of trying to contrast that with the emphasis we keep placing on adoption and the inclusion of everyone. Now, listen to this little section from the Nicene Creed, which was put together by the church in 381 AD. And remember how these creeds were formed, literally the church of the day. You have to think of it today as Baptists and Methodists and Episcopalians and Pentecostals and Catholics. They all came together because they were all being fought by various forces that were heretical and not onto the right faith. They said, we need to come together. And no matter our differences on certain doctrines, we've got to, in the Holy Spirit, debate and talk out what are the fundamental doctrines upon which we all agree, no matter what distinctions we might have. And so they got together, and believe me, they literally fought, but they finally came out of there with what we know as the Nicene Creed and later on the Chalcedon Creed and so forth, clarifying our fundamental beliefs as Christians. Listen to this from the Nicene Creed. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. Did you hear that last statement? I bet most of you just missed it. Bzing, right over your head. Let me say it again. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. I bet most of you are still missing it and not getting it. And I bet most of you have been thinking all of your life that Jesus only came for our salvation and have completely neglected that he was coming for us. Did you notice that again? He came for us men and for our salvation. Now, this is an important insight. Please listen and get it and don't miss it ever again. This is the thrill and stunning news of the gospel. You see, here at The Adopted Life, the reason we put so much emphasis on our adoption and the inclusion of man in the triune relationship is because this plan of the triune God is more than just a plan about salvation. The Father didn't create us so that he could save us. He created us so that we could share in his life as Father, Son, and Spirit. You see, even more radically, even if we hadn't sinned, the Father was still sending the Son and the Spirit for all of us so that we could relate with God as God really is. Do you hear me? Yes, even if you had never sinned, the Father, Son, and Spirit were going to have to send Jesus in order to get us into their relationship. I mean, how else are we going to relate with an uncreated and relational God? A created being cannot become an uncreated being. That leaves only one choice, my friend. The uncreated triune God was going to have to join us and share his life with us as one of us if he was coming not only for our salvation, but coming for us. Now think deeply about this. The Nicene Creed begins setting a context for salvation within the purpose of adoption. And that is the context in which the scriptures were selected for being put together in the New Testament. And that is how we here at The Adopted Life begin talking about the gospel too. Jesus came for us and for our adoption 2,000 years ago, whether we would have sinned or not. He was coming for us. Salvation follows that context because we can all admit, and we all have admitted, that we're all sinners. In other words, it's one thing to be adopted and not sinful, but it's another thing to be adopted and be sinful. That's not going to cut it. That's not going to get it. I mean, if the Father's goal was to adopt us in Christ and to have us as Christ is in his humanity, which is what the scriptures tell us, we read it last time in Ephesians chapter 1, then we're going to have to speak of salvation in the context of adoption. Now, here's an example for you to help make this plain. How many of you have children or you want children? And what was or is your thought about children? I mean, did you think or do you think, we sure hope we can have some children so that we can save them from drowning in our backyard pool? I mean, isn't that laughable? Or do you more properly think and say, we want to have some children so they can share in our family love and life, including the backyard pool? You see the difference in the two? I mean, your plan isn't to have them so you can save them. Your plan is to have them so they can share in your love and in your life. But because you know you do have a pool and you want them to be able to enjoy that, and you know the risk that come along with putting them in a pool, then you do make some provision so that they can be safe once they arrive on the scene and begin swimming in the pool. And that's where the life jackets and the lifesavers and the life raft come into play. You have things available because your intent is that once the children are here, you want to keep them here, and you'll do everything in your power for them to stay with you. Oh, my friend, if you can get that little example, you can begin to be more thrilled about what is actually going on in your life. We must begin putting the horse before the cart in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. If Jesus was our only way to be adopted as children of the Father, and he was our only way, then Jesus is our adoption into the life of the Father, Son, and Spirit. And if the Father's plan was to save his adopted children through Jesus, if they fell in the sin pool, and we all did fall into the sin pool, then Jesus is also not only our adoption, but Jesus is himself our salvation. You see, adoption and salvation are not just doctrines we believe. They are the reality of who Jesus is and who we are in him. In Jesus, we are all adopted and we are all saved. And this is why the scriptures say such things like in 1 Timothy 4 verses 9 and 10. For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially those who believe. Yes, Jesus has saved all men because in his own human body, he has adopted all men. And if all men are already adopted in the life and body of Jesus Christ, then what do we think happens when he takes that body into death and raises it back to life? Are we not all then saved too from our sin pool? And the answer, the gospel answer is yes, we're all adopted. And yes, we're all saved in the person, the literal being of Jesus Christ, God as man. And my friend, if you'll embrace that, you just watch what glorious transformation will begin taking place in your life and in your world. Well, I encourage you to keep tuning in as we keep rejoicing and keep on expressing with increasing clarity the dance and dream of God the Father, Son, and Spirit, who not only loves you more than he loves himself, but who also likes you very, very much. If you enjoyed this audio resource, feel free to pass it on to others for their encouragement. And be sure to visit www.theadoptedlife.org regularly for a variety of useful and practical tools for becoming better equipped in your understanding and experience of the dance and dream of the Trinity. If you'd like to engage in lively and interactive discussion on the gospel, please visit our blog at www.trinityandhumanity.wordpress.com.